Welcome back to the Better Everyday Podcast, where we are unlocking our best self one episode at a time. My name is David Garcia, and this is my beautiful co-host and wife, Grace Garcia.
Hello.
Welcome back. This is episode 7 of the second season of the Better Everyday Podcast. I want to thank you guys for listening. It seems like you guys had a great feedback or great... What's the thing that I'm looking for? The great, not result, but it was a great
reaction
response to the last episode, episode 6, which was imposter syndrome, which was my wife's topic. And right before we started the filming, she was gloating about it. She said, "Oh, my fire topics, they always get the most views."
Oh my goodness, I was joking.
People love my fire topics.
It was a joke.
It was not a joke. But we're moving on to episode 7. But yeah, we just wanted to take the time to thank you guys for the response for that last episode. Very meaningful. Maybe it's something that we need to continue talking about. Maybe, dissect it maybe a little bit further. And if you guys, feel like, wow, like I really related to that episode, or wow, I wish there was more to that episode, wow, like I see myself in that episode. Do us a favor and leave a comment. Mm-hmm. Because that also tells us, okay, people are connecting with these episodes. Maybe you're letting us know, hey, I want you guys to go further deeper into it.
Yeah.
And we're more than glad to do that. I've had a couple of conversations with people, like just in live, and you know, they usually go, hey, like, really love your podcast. You know, we talk about the episodes. And then we have really good conversation, you know, and that brings up more of a list for us to talk about. But it's meaningful to connect. It's meaningful to go back and forth. It's meaningful to know what you guys are thinking, how you guys are relating to these episodes, knowing how these episodes are helping. And yeah, we would love the response. We would love the feedback. And so if you guys just have 30 seconds of your time, leave something in the comments, let us know. That would be greatly appreciated. Yeah. And so moving on to episode 7. Today we are going to talk about something I think deep. I'm going to say deep. In order for you to become better every day, that is the focus of this podcast. It's hard to move forward when you haven't dealt with the past. It's hard to move forward when you're dragging a lot of weight from the past. And sometimes we don't know that we're dragging this weight. And like myself, as an example, I've talked about it here, where I felt like I got to a point in my life where I kept hitting a ceiling and I couldn't break through that ceiling. And how I told my wife, hey, like, I don't want to be the weakest link of this family. I don't know what's going on. I'm in a funk and I need help. And I went to go seek help. And through that help, it really helped me open up my eyes, helped me see that I was dragging a lot of weight from the past, which I thought I had already resolved, that I was past it, that I was good, really. But the therapist helped me see that. So the analogy I always use with everybody when I talk about this kind of stuff is, if my life was a house, there's an attic in that house and there's boxes in that attic. And I left some boxes up there for many, many years, haven't touched them, haven't done anything with them. And so with this process and this journey of therapy, I finally went up into the attic and I brought down those boxes and I opened them up. And one of the things that I realized, and I think, especially with my generation, you guys might be able to relate, and especially Hispanic parents. I'm not too well versed in, you know, American parents or other cultures of parents, but I know that other cultures have similar parents as ours. And what I'm talking about is like strict parents. Hispanic parents, for the most part, are very strict. They're very strict. They're very night and day compared to this like Gen Z type parenting, very gentle parenting, very, hey, buddy, let me get on your level and let's talk this out and let's have a conversation. And let's help you just like bring down those emotions nice and easy, you know? My parents, at least, I can't really speak for Grace's parents because she always says, I had the greatest parents. so shout out to Tony and your mom.
Yes.
Rest in peace. but if you grew up like me, you grew up with parents that very strict. And I'm talking very strict in the sense of any little mistake could be this small. It was a pretty big mistake. And I gave an example like two episodes ago, I think, where I said a kid spills water and the parents shame, negative words, just overall shame. And that example was really like about my life. I don't remember spilling water, but I know that I made little mistakes like that as a kid would make, right? And I was conditioned like that most of my life. My parents were just, you know, there was no room for mistake. It was perfect or I was walking on eggshells, right? And when you grow up like that, you grow up with that I need to be perfect mentality. I need to perform. I need to achieve. And the other example that I gave was come home. I come home with an A first semester, come home with a B next semester. My mom's like, what the heck are you doing? Like, you got an A. I'm like, B's still good. And she's like, nah, bro. Like, you start with an A, you end with an A. And so all this kind of, I realized through this journey of therapy that it really had a big toll on me. And it conditioned me, and without me even knowing really, because I always thought like, oh, I don't care what people think. I don't need to perform for people. Like it's whatever. And I used to kind of not be nice to you in regards to that, because you used to just openly say like, hey, I'm a Enneagram 3. I'm an achiever. I need people's praise to know that, you know, I'm validated and I'm worthy and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like that's crazy. And I'd be like, I don't need nobody's approval. And I remember telling you, like, you used to tell me all the time, like, oh, like you're handsome, whatever. And I'd be like, whatever, you know, like, or like, I know, or, and it's just that I was carrying myself in the sense of I don't need anybody. Mm-hmm. Right. And understandably so, because I grew up with, you know, very harsh parents, very disciplined parents, very strict parents, where it's just like if people like your parents can do that to you, then it's just like I'm way too scared to get close to anybody for them to hurt me. And there had been other cases as well where, you know, I tried a little bit of vulnerability and it bit me in the butt. But all this in all, this episode really is A, for the parents, which some of you are, but also B, for the anybody who's ever been a kid, which has been all of us, right? You could see it from both perspectives. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this episode makes you reflect as a parent, if you are a parent or if you are planning to be a parent, but also it helps you reflect within you as well, right? Because basically what I'm trying to get at is I came to a point in therapy where this therapist made me like loop into like inner child, which I had been resisting. I'm not going to lie. I had been resisting the thought or the just notion of inner child. I'd be like, back in the day, I was like, that's bogus. Like, what are you talking about inner child? I'm a grown man. Like talking to my little kid self, like what for? Like there's no point to it. But this guy like had me like, I don't know, in his therapeutic secret ways, get me there. And he basically was like, what would you have wanted as a kid when you went through all those times of shame, all those times where you made an innocent mistake and your parents just What are you doing? You shouldn't have done that. That's a dumb mistake. You should know better. And he's like, what would you have wanted? Or if you went back in time and you could be with that little David, what would you do? And I'm like, oh man. And you know, the tears started coming out and I was just like, I would hug him. I would embrace him. And I would tell him that it's okay for him to make those mistakes because he's just a kid. He's learning. And not only that, but I would tell him that I'm on his side. I have his back. I will help protect him and I will be able to guide him and help him grow and mature. That will eventually get him out of making those childish mistakes, but not shaming him along the way, right? Mm-hmm. And so one of the title ideas that I had for this episode is let the kid be a kid, right? Because that's what it came down to for me. Like I felt like I wasn't allowed to be that kid. I wasn't allowed to be a kid, a free kid. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was always on eggshells, couldn't make any mistakes. I would purposely sometimes make mistakes, like sneak out of my house when my dad was sleeping and I would get caught and yeah, they would, what are you doing? And that part was just because my parents were very overprotective. And if you have some Hispanic parents are pretty overprotective, like, no, you can't be out of my sight. And some of those Hispanic parents is because they think the worst of everything. Like if my kid goes out onto the street, the car's going to hit him. Somebody is going to steal him and traffic him or whatever. Like all these bad things go through the mind. So they're like, you're better off here in my house where I know you're safe than out there in the world.
Yeah.
So they're projecting those fears onto a kid. And, but yeah, I remember I would get home and my dad would be royally just mad and pissed and just like, what are you doing? And blah, blah, blah. And my parents' thing was always negative reinforcement. Like, we're going to put the fear in you. We're going to discipline you. We're going to get you with the belt. Like, any way that they can negatively reinforce the habits that they wanted me to have, that's the only way they knew how to function.
Yeah.
And so, in that moment of therapy, I was just like, yeah, just let the kid be a kid. And so, on the parent side, I would say, are we letting our kids be kids? But on the children's side, were we allowed to be kids? Were we allowed to feel freedom? Because another pet peeve of mine, I remember when I was a youth pastor, I would make just either a dumb joke or a little mistake. And I would hear in the background, wow, and you're a youth pastor? And I'd be like, now I understand why it triggered me because I grew up never allowed to make mistakes. And now as a grown man, I can't make quote unquote mistakes. And because people I'll feel the same thing, that judgment, that shame of like, wow, dude, like you shouldn't be doing that. And granted, like there are things very obvious that we shouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. Right. But like little mistakes or letting our humor come out or it's just because of what I went through, I feel like people constantly try to put me in a box. And as I am, I hate that. Mm-hmm. And it's probably because how I grew up, right? Because I grew up most of my life feeling like I'm in the box. You got to be in the box or else, buddy. Nuh-uh. It's not going to work out, right? And so feeling like you're in the box sucks because you're now fitting somebody else's mold. Okay. And so enough of me talking for a second. As a parent, I'm going to ask you, and then I'm going to ask you as you yourself as a kid, right? As a parent, do you feel like you are letting your kids be kids?
I'd hope so, but I'm trying to think of scenarios when they'd make mistakes. And I don't want to say like my kids don't make mistakes because obviously they do, they're human. But they're not like bad kids. So I feel like...
Okay, let me help you. Let me help you. Let me help you. Because right now you're like, oh my gosh, my kids are angels. Let's paint a scenario of you in the morning. Maybe Elijah doesn't want to get up at the time that you want him to get up. Maybe Uriah, you did her hair and she wants it differently. No, I don't want it like this. Maybe Elijah wakes up cranky. Maybe Elijah was eating waffles in the carpet and he accidentally dropped it.
Okay.
Well, now you have to clean it up. Elijah maybe had an accident in the bed. Like, how are you acting in those moments where the stress levels are starting to go up, the anxiety levels are starting to go up, it's getting harder and harder to deal with?
To be honest, which I don't believe it's a good answer. I don't think we should be swayed by our emotions, but I for sure think it depends how I am. Because there could be a morning when I'm not stressed and it's happened. Mm-hmm. And let's say an accident happens and I'm like, it's okay, let's just take a shower, let's just do this. And that same scenario where I'm like running late and I'm like, seriously, dude, like, how old are you? Are you a baby? Like, I've said comments like, are you a baby? Mm-hmm. So it could be the same outcome, the same scenario, and it's all me. I think, like, in regards to him not doing it, I'm like, come on, listen, like, I've told you 2 times, I've told you 3 times, I've like, let's go. Like, I'm just more, I think, strict with my voice. But in the disciplining part, like, I could be irritated and say like dumb things, but when it comes to, let's say, they drop something on the carpet, like, I'm not going to hit them for that. I'm not going to put them in timeout for that. I might say, like, come on, were you paying attention? Like, why are you doing that? And like, might sound irritated. I think I'm getting better, but yeah, I for sure think it depends on how you said, like, my stress levels. Like, did I get good sleep? Am I running late? Which it shouldn't. I should be consistent.
With the way that you said that, I just want to clarify something. Do you think it's not the same? Like, you, because you're like, oh, if they make a little mistake, I'm not going to like hit them or anything like that. But I will say a dumb comment.
The only dumb comment I can think of, which you probably can think of more that I say, but is like, you're not a baby anymore. But like that one, I'm like, okay, I need to stop. Like putting a timeline of like when they'll
And I'm asking that because obviously I've laid somewhat of a foundation of, you know, what this topic is about and, you know, kind of a little bit of my story. And like, for you to say a comment like that is shame.
Yeah.
And so the kid is now going to feel like, I can't make a mistake around my mom or else she's going to shame me. Mm-hmm. So to me, from my perspective, it's like, that's almost the same thing as hitting. Like, you might as well smack the kid. Like, the only difference is that you physically put your hands on him, but
yeah,
that you messed him up a little bit internally, you probably did.
My son's going to have to go to therapy for my comments. And yeah, for sure. I think that I feel like that every mom I've talked to, where they're like, oh yeah, we have mom guilt. Because when we're overstressed, we'll say like, why don't you do this? Or why can't you? And they're we'll start comparing. And even I think like I try to not use comments to shame. But then I noticed myself being super like, not sarcastic, but like making a point. Like, thank, I'm picking on Elijah because he's the oldest, but like, thank you, Araya, for doing this so fast. Like, knowing that he's like, I'm not.
That triggers me so much.
And so, yeah, I think for sure, there's moments I suck as a mom.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, that sounds really negative, but you know, I think every parent is trying to figure it out, right?
Yeah.
And it's based off our own stories and our own, the way that we grew up. Like when I had that moment in therapy, I remember thinking about myself, but then also immediately thinking about Elijah. Because there's been times where I've like freaked out on him. Like, let's say the one time I for sure remember is like, he didn't want to take a shower. And he started crying, like what he usually does sometimes when he's just like cranky or whatever. And he's crying and crying. I don't want to take a shower. I don't want to take a shower. And I remember I was just like, Elijah, that's enough. Like, I screamed it. I'm like, that's enough. Like, you cry every single night. You know exactly what we have to do. We know the routine or whatever. And I'm like, that's enough. Like, you need to stop crying.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that kid cried even more. And when I've had a couple of moments like that, and like thinking about it when I had my moment, I'm like, am I letting my kid be a kid? And I had a moment of like repentance and a moment of like, man, like, I hope I didn't like fully mess him up, you know?
Yeah.
Because no parent wants to really mess up their kids, you know? Like, I think for the most part, most parents love their kids. They want to do the best for their kids. They want them to grow up healthy. They want them to grow up successful. And it's just kind of like what we painted with you. Like, it's just everyday life. Sometimes like it gets on top of us. We're stressed. We're anxiety. We have anxiety. We have a big presentation at work or whatever that we, you know, we've been thinking about for a couple of days, or you with your lesson plannings or your social media, whatever. You got a lot on your mind. And so I think the intention, I think we can always go back to, you know, that exercise that me and you did in couples therapy is like, do you love the kids? And I think we can all confidently say, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, we have moments that like, you know, we don't act the greatest version of ourselves. But I remember thinking about like, oh man, like, I didn't mess him up. Like, but what I love about therapy is that identifying things,
yeah,
you know, like once that moment happened, I was now, this therapist likes to say, and I think other therapists say it too, like, you have a difference between a reaction and a response. A reaction is like, you didn't think about it. You just, whatever happened, you reacted to it, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas with a response, something happened and you stopped yourself and you're like, I could react and it'll go probably not that good.
Yeah.
Let me think about it for a second and let me see how I'm going to properly handle this, right? And I've found myself responding way more with Elijah when he makes certain things. And I've been also, what I love going through my stuff is like, I see those moments. Like we talked about that moment a couple of weeks ago where he kind of felt like, oh man, like my mom and my dad are going to come against mm-hmm. me. And I was like, nah, dude, like I'm going to embrace you. I'm going to tell you that I'm on your side and I love you. There's going to be consequences to your actions or whatever. And I think that's very important. And we could talk about the balance after this, but
yeah.
But just to let him know, like, it's okay for you to make mistakes. You're a kid, you're learning. And that's the grace that they deserve.
Mm.
And thinking about it in an expanded version, like, if we can help our kids be secure right now in knowing it's okay for us to make mistakes, we have coaches, we have parents that are going to help us hopefully learn how to not make these mistakes without the shame, without the guilt. Imagine them when they're older and they feel like it's okay to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that, I think, falls into place with the champion spirit. Because the champion spirit, what does it say? Like a Michael Jordan or whatever, take all the shots that you can.
Yeah.
Like a Wayne Gretzky, you lose all the shots that you don't take. Like, it's okay for you to make mistakes. The more shots that you take, the more chances it are that there are that you're going to make it in.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, be okay with... You know, I see like posts on Instagram all the time. Be okay with failure. Be okay with missing the shot. Be okay. Keep going. Persevere. But a lot of people can't persevere because they're so deathly afraid of, if I make a mistake, I'm going to get the shame. I'm going to get the guilt. I won't get the love. I won't get the admiration that I've been so dying for.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I love that I can see those moments and I'm like, I'm not saying that I'm perfect now, but that I'm able to acknowledge and identify those moments and just like respond to it and be like, see myself in him and be like, what would I have wanted?
Yeah.
And be what I said to the therapist, what I wanted to be to myself, my little self, I can do that for Elijah. And that's amazing.
That is. I think that's so difficult thing to do because I mean, we're with them 24/7, but our whole life, every single day. And so it is a huge responsibility of we're raising these kids, but I feel like it's so easy to mess up. It's a scary feeling.
I mean, I honestly have that thought in mind. And whenever I talk to somebody about parenting, I always go, we have one job, buddy. Not screw them up.
But there's so many ways you can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, 100%. And like, it's as little as what you're saying. Like, you're not a baby anymore. Boom, shame.
Yeah.
And just like that right there already starts shifting just a little bit, you know? And enough of those times, it's just like, all right, mom is not a person that I can be myself with, mm-hmm. you know? And just imagine if we could see it on a program, on a TV screen or something, or like see the inner thoughts or heart of our children
yeah.
and start seeing like, oh, we're starting to lose them. We're starting to lose them. We're starting to lose them. We lost them. You know, imagine like one day hearing your kid be like, growing up, it felt like I could never be myself around you. Mm-hmm. How hurtful is that? You know, and it's not even like meaning to be hurtful, but like
yeah.
that truth hurts, you know? But you as a kid, let's move on to that. You as a kid, how did you feel in this regard, this topic? Like, did you feel like you were allowed to be a kid? Did you feel like you were allowed to make mistakes? Because you've been open about it. You feel like you've always had to like overachieve. There's some sort of drive within you.
Yeah.
To just do the most to be able to be like, I'm special.
I don't know where that came from. I do remember, because if you guys didn't know, both my parents, like they were pastors. So I did feel this pressure. Like we couldn't really be kids when it came to like in church scenarios or in events. Mm-hmm. It was like, make sure you're sitting, make sure you have your hands to yourself, make sure you're not like fidgeting, make sure you're paying attention, make sure you're not bothering your siblings. Like it was like, we had to sit in the front row and just like emulate obedient pastoral kids. Mm. So I do remember that. And I do remember like my mom, like guard your testimony. It's like, whatever you say, whatever you post, whatever you do, like people are watching, make sure they have nothing bad to say.
Yeah.
So I do remember like that pressure as well. I'm pretty sure, I mean, I'm my mom's daughter, so I'm pretty sure like there was shaming of like, oh, you never do like, and I catch myself because I'm like, oh, you're never on time or you're always late. Like those broad generalization words that maybe in the moment don't seem like a big deal, but we're putting that in their heart. Like, I never am on time or I am always slow or whatever. Like, and those are seeds that we plant. Mm-hmm. And so I would probably say like that happened like a lot, like these overgeneralizations, like, oh, you don't help me when I need help, like to clean up or whatever it is. And then I think from your siblings too, you get like, oh, you're lazy. And so you just start carrying that around. But in regards to like when I had some of my biggest like mess, because those are little things, right? Like how to behave at church, cleaning up after yourself in the house. But when it came to like when I messed up big, like drove to see this guy I wasn't supposed to, like hours away with my dad's car and crashed it.
Not me, by the way.
No, it wasn't David. I wish. That was like a sign from God. Like, what are you doing? I remember being like, the only person I can call is my dad. Like, I'm in trouble. I need help. Let me call my dad. And I knew he was going to get upset, like 100%. But I knew that, like, that was my consequence, like me feeling bad in that, me feeling my own shame. He did not add on to that. He just said, Grace, okay, is the car drivable? Are you okay? Okay, come drive it home. Like, that's it. And he took care of it. Like, there was no discussion after. But I felt bad and I had to sit in my own feelings, like, yes, but there was never like, what are you thinking? Like, you're bad, like nothing. And so, yeah, I think both my parents reacted like that. Like, it never was my identity. those mistakes, they never made it a part of me. And so I think that was a huge blessing. But I think in the day-to-day, like when the irritations, I think that's what I'm guilty of too. I think those for sure like stick to you.
I'd love to know. I would really love to know where you got that drive from though. Like, is it just because you're a middle child? Because middle children usually are like overachievers because they're competing with the older sibling and the younger sibling. Like they're not the baby anymore. So
yeah.
There's like a psychology. I remember I read something that was talking about like the personalities of like the oldest sibling,
yeah,
the youngest sibling, the middle child or whatever. Or I wonder if it was like positive reinforcement where you like notice, oh, when I do something good, like people love it and I love when they love it. And so let me just go hard. Or I would love to know where that actually comes from, because
yeah,
you did go through a time where it was difficult for you to say no,
mm-hmm,
right? It was difficult for you to not to pile up like a bunch of things. You know, it almost like came down to a question of like, who are you if you don't do all these things?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like who would you be if you just stopped completely? Like, would you be able to even handle it? And that in itself is kind of like some sort of like a version of perfectionism where it's just like, I need a certain level of achievements.
Yeah.
I need a certain level of work to be able to justify like I'm worth it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I mean, I read one of the books that we talked about five love languages, mm-hmm, for spouse. And I read one that was five languages for kids too. Like kids need all five, but how, as they start getting older and develop their character, you can for sure see which ones they kind of respond to more. I think since I can remember, I've been like words of affirmation. So for sure, I wouldn't doubt if them saying, wow, Grace, look at this. Like, you got an A or something like that just made me feel like, okay, like I want to continue. I want to get it more. Whether that was from my parents, my teachers, my peers, like it could have been one group or all of them at the same time. And especially my older sister, like I feel like she didn't get that in regards to like at least school.
Yeah.
So maybe it was like a way for me to, she is a beast when it comes to all things creativity, like dance, singing, acting, like you name it, drawing, decor. And so maybe I saw the validation that she was given and it's like, I can never, we've talked about this before, like compete in that arena, but I found my own lane in where I'm thriving. But yeah, I do not honestly, like do not remember my parents being like, hey, have you thought of AP classes? Like, hey, did you know, like, if you take this many, it'll be cheaper? And like, I don't remember them encouraging me. And I'm just somehow was like, I need to take as many as I can. But they would say things like, you're going to be a lawyer. You're going to be the president of the United States. So I wonder if like subconsciously, like putting those big labels as a kid where I'm like, whoa, that's hard to do.
Mm.
I'm like, I need to do things that those type of people will do. I need to make sure I am, I guess, like worthy of that title one day.
But your parents never made you feel less than if you never did, right?
No, I remember once I flunked chemistry and I had to go to summer school. They didn't make me, I felt bad. I was like, oh my goodness. Like people always say how good your grades are and stuff like that.
So you feel like those thoughts that you were just talking about were like self-imposed?
I think so. I think, or it was like rising to their bar. Like, this is who we see you are. And then I'm like, oh, I have to be that. I have to do that. I have to get there somehow.
But like, I would see that as self-imposed because it's like your parents never said like, if you don't get to this point, shame on you and shame on your next generations or whatever.
No, like, but it was definitely like, I saw how proud they were of me that I did not want to let them down. Like if I said like, I don't want to go to college, which I never thought, but like if I did, I would be like, oh, like we had our hope in you. Like we put our, like we thought you could do it. Like I was letting them down.
Do you think I mean, it all depends on perspective. It's all subjective. But do you feel like parenting in that form of this is what I see you doing, period, is a bad thing?
I think so. Because I think, especially if you are a kid who likes affirmation and you thrive on words of affirmation, but then you get your value from achieving, like for sure that can just make a kid hyper fixate on what is said.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to be exploring other things. They're not going to, because they're just like, I have to do this. I have to do this. Like it becomes a part of them. Like they say I'm this. And so I have to do it.
Yeah. And thinking about the way that we parent, I think we have like our motto, right? Which is just Garcia's always try our best.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember so many times we've told Elijah when he goes into soccer, whatever he does, we always just go like, you try your best. As long as you try your best, we're proud of you.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I'd like to hope that alleviates some of the pressure for him and that all he has to do is really try his best. And I mean, us as his parents, I think we can tell when he's trying his best. We can tell when he's dragging his feet. We can tell when, you know, like he's really just going after it, you know? And I think we do a great job after, you know, whatever it is that he does, that we go like, we're proud of you. Like we saw that you tried your best. You did great. Sometimes he himself is like, oh, I don't know if I did that good. And we're like, no, you did great. Here's what you did great. Here's maybe some things that you go work on, but we'll help you at home. And I think in that regard, I think we do a pretty good job. And I think that's a good point that you brought up. As a parent, raising the bar so high that your kid might feel like they have no other choice. Like maybe along the way, they don't even want to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, because the bar was set so high, because they want your affirmation so bad, like now they're too scared to even bring it up. Like, and then you see it in shows, you see it in movies, like, the parent says that he wants you to be the doctor. It's like, oh man, like I don't even like being a doctor, but I'm going to go for it. And they're miserable through it. And they're too scared to say like, oh, I don't want to do that. I want to do business or whatever.
Yeah. Which is, I feel is such a, not a slippery slope, but a hard balance to find, because I'm sure I said comments too of like, oh, this would be cool. Or maybe they started seeing that I was showing interest in something.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe they started picking up on those cues and were like, well, it looks like Grace would really enjoy this. Like, I don't think they themselves, like, before I went to school, like, oh, she's going to be a lawyer or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there must have been something that made them think that. But I wonder if, as parents, because right now, like, Elijah's into soccer, right? And so we're like, oh, you're going to be an awesome soccer player. But I would hope, or maybe when he's older, that we can communicate, like, you can change your mind. Like, this doesn't have to be your identity of like, you're going to be an amazing soccer player.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think then that's when they're like, oh, I already said it. This is all they see me. And they just keep talking about it. They're like hyper fixated on it. And I'm kind of not feeling it anymore. Which is like, okay, how can we be super supportive and get them excited of their dream? Making them, maybe sometimes consistency is good, but then how are we just making it who they are?
Yeah. And I think as parents, I think it's important for us to have like constant conversations with them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a great point. Like next time that I have a conversation with Elijah, I'll probably bring that up. Like, hey buddy, like if one day you change that, you don't want to do like soccer or you want to do something else. Like,
I think just, that would hurt me.
just let us know. Like, but you know, going back a little bit to your story, I kind of want to relate it to like, I'm going to do a soccer analogy, but like Messi and Ronaldo, because Messi, everyone says he's the talent. Kid was born with talent. Ronaldo was all about hard work and just go, 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 go. And like you were saying, like your older sister, just talented, super talented in creativity and art, decor, dancing.
She does not have to try.
Yeah. All this stuff. It just comes naturally to her. She goes, oh yeah, that, boom, beautiful. And where you said like, I saw her do that and it's almost like you had to choose something else. And maybe your thing, you just said like, I'm just going to work harder than everybody in this room. that's going to be my thing.
Yeah.
And then maybe your parents saw like, wow, this girl busts her butt. Because ever since I've known you, you've always bragged to everybody. I took 13 AP classes.
That's 10.
Okay.
You're like
10.
Raising up the bar.
I took 10 AP classes. Basically, like what you're saying in between the lines is nobody did what I did.
Yeah, I haven't met anyone, but I'm sure.
And so like, yeah, maybe your parents like saw those cues and were like, oh, this girl, she's going to be unstoppable. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's one of the reasons why they're like, Grace would believe in you. And that's why you can go right here. And just like, yeah, like you said, they had all the great intentions.
Yeah.
They wanted to continue fueling that fire within you. But I think just quickly as a parent, it's very important to notice certain cues, you know, mm-hmm. like maybe seeing you and being like, hey, like, let's have conversations. Like, let's see where this drive is actually coming from. Let's make sure that it's healthy. Make sure that you know that whether you achieve or don't achieve, like, we still love you. God still loves you. Your family still loves you. You know, just like, just to maybe just relieve some of that pressure. Because being there, you know, I kind of relate to it. Being in that, like, this is the expectation. This is the expectation. Like, there is nothing outside of this mold. That, the pressure builds up big time. Big time. And it's not a comfortable feeling. Mm-hmm. And now, I'm not going to say that pressure is not a good thing. Because if we're going to achieve great things, there's going to be pressure.
Yeah.
Right? But what I'm talking about is, you know, the psychology of where it comes from. Are you doing it in a healthy way? What you get yourself into, why'd you get yourself into that? Is it because to get the affirmation of somebody, your parents, your loved one, your spouse, your kids, whatever? Or is it because you actually feel called there by God? Is it because you actually love doing what you're actually doing? Like, it's not for the sake of other people. And that kind of is transitioning to the next part of this episode, which is how do we get out of what we're in?
Yeah.
You know, and with my personal experience, it has been, David, you didn't really receive words of affirmation. You didn't really receive the words of, I love you, I'm proud of you. You were kind of put in a be a perfect kid box. Mm-hmm. You were given all these expectations. My expectation was, you're supposed to be a doctor, buddy. And when I didn't go to university, oh man, my parents did not take that well. And so it was like perfect or nothing, perfect or shame. Like growing up that like that, it sucked. And so the therapist was like, you didn't get none of this. And so because you didn't get it from them, you didn't give it to yourself. Mm-hmm. They didn't give you grace. You didn't give yourself grace. And, you know, we've talked about it. I'm pretty harsh on myself and I'm harsh on other people. I project that onto other people as well. Yeah. I want to put other people into certain boxes as well. And he was basically like, very cliche, but you need to learn how to love yourself. And I'm like, what the heck does that look like? And he said, when you do something great, don't post it. Don't send it to anybody. Sit in the feeling of when you do something great. Like, for example, I run 12 miles. Don't post about it. Don't send it to anybody. Sit in that feeling. Mm-hmm. Be proud of yourself. And even look yourself in the mirror and be like, I am proud of you. Because really what you're doing almost makes me cringe. But what were you really doing in that moment is you're talking to your inner child. Mm-hmm. Your child, like the younger version of you never got that. So speak to that younger version of you and start maturing from there.
Yeah.
And I think when you start loving yourself in that aspect, then the opinions of others matter less to you. Mm-hmm. You know, that you aren't swayed by people's opinions.
That sounds to me, because as you were talking of like, I don't know if you've heard of the terms intrinsic and extrinsic motivation.
Okay.
Because as I was like reflecting just literally like right now, I'm like, I think for me, it's so difficult and maybe I do need to go to therapy, because I feel like I am just naturally an achiever, you mm-hmm. know? But I for sure think there was like unhealthy expectations or maybe unhealthy ways of doing it, if that makes sense. Because even in my students, sometimes I see my students where there's kids who are so smart and like work hard because they know their parents are going to be on top of it, because they know their parents are going to ask, like, let's see your grades. Like, they just know. And there's students who like it comes natural to them and they don't care if their parents ask. Like, they don't, like, their parents are not really expecting like a good report card. They just do it for themselves, right? Because mm-hmm. I don't remember my parents, like, let me see your assignment. What did you get on it? Which I'm like, I'm kind of that parent. Like, I get so excited, but I'm like, what am I teaching my son? Because I'm like, Elijah, I work hard with him on a project. And then I'm like, did they grade it yet? Did they grade it yet? And then when they grade it, Elijah, look, you got an A. I'm like, look, you got an A. And he's proud. But I wonder, is he proud because I'm proud, like excited? Like, would he be have excited on his own, you know? Like, I feel like that's intrinsic. And so when you're running the mile, like, you should just want to run it yourself, period. Yeah, exactly. Does it matter, mm-hmm. right? That's your intrinsic motivation. Extrinsic is, I'm going to do this. People are going to say, good job. I'm going to get an award, whatever it is, right? And so the goal as a teacher, which is super difficult, is, like, make students intrinsically motivated. Not like, you'll get this award if you pass. You're going to get better classes. It's like, no, you should just have that.
Yeah.
But you saying that, so because I'm like, oh, crap, like as a parent, again, Elijah and Uriah, they perform well, like just naturally. Like mm-hmm. we have not had to sit them down and be like, again, do this again. And then they get good scores. Like they get good scores and I'm like, you're a genius, you know? Mm. But I wonder like my reactions, because you don't really react, it's me. But it's because this is my domain. Like I love this stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, if I am extrinsically motivating them or if that's just who they were, right? And then as you were saying, how you're trying to deprogram yourself from the extrinsic motivation, mm-hmm. should we have him practice of like, I am proud of myself. Like what you do now as an adult, because I don't think we've been intentional of having, how do you feel?
Yeah, I don't think we've ever done that. And I think, yeah, you're right. It would be super important for us to do that.
Yeah.
For us to ask him. And I think he would probably feel a little uncomfortable. Because usually, I don't know, he seems like he always shies away from like, oh, like I did a good job or whatever. Like, or he, you know, the way that he jokes.
Yeah.
And I do, I mean, I do remember sometimes when they get the report card and I see your face. Oh,
but I don't say anything. Goodness.
But they might see it or they might catch the vibe. Sometimes they like, it's not 100% and you're like.
No, it's not only 100% that I care. It's like on the C's or if it got like, I'm just like.
Oh man. And I immediately, because like I see myself in the kids. I'm just like, don't you dare. Don't you dare. Cause I'm just, in that moment, I always go into like 100% protective mode.
Yeah, like you've I'm experienced like, that.
Don't when you I damage my kids the way that I was damaged.
But I wonder, because he loves getting awards at the end. He'll be mm-hmm. like, I got 5, 6 awards, like whatever it is, right? And he does good. So I'm thinking like, does he do good? Or maybe it's a combo of both. Like, does he good because he loves that feeling? Like he's intrinsically motivated? Or is he like, my parents, when they see it, they're going to be excited. Like, you know, or is it just all extrinsic? Because even Uriah, I told you one of these days, she finished her books early or something. And she told me, I didn't even say anything. I didn't even really know what she was kind of talking about. And then she's like, look, mom, are you proud of me? And I'm like, oh my goodness, this little girl. I'm like, of course, I'm always proud of you. Like whether you finished your books or not. But I'm like, where is that coming from? Like, is it?
I think, okay. I think no matter what, they're kids, right? Mm-hmm. And going back to the book, Wild at Heart, I think we've talked about it here before.
Yeah.
There's a part in there that goes, the boy will always look to his dad. Mm-hmm. to basically be like, are you proud of me? Am I growing? Am I becoming a man? So there's something already wired within them of, I need to go to my parents to get this affirmation, to know that I'm on the right path. Like without them even like thinking about it, really. And a little girl will always go to her dad. And I'm talking about just the dad because the Wild of Heart has to
it's
do
it. It's for men.
It's for men. But the little girl will always go to the dad and be like, in between whatever she's saying, it's, am I pretty? Am I special? Am I beautiful? Like she just wants to know from her dad that. And so I think to say that it's just intrinsic for not the greatest reasons, I don't think that makes sense right now because they're kids. They need that from their parents. And so, but what I do believe is, and what I like that you mentioned is, we should have them practice saying it to themselves or being like, hey, how do you feel about this? Are you proud of yourself? Okay. Say that you're proud of yourself.
Because the only topic or like thing where I have a feeling he'd 100% be like, I'm the best. And he said that, but sometimes it's like, I mean, we're both jokesters and prideful. So I feel like him saying like, I'm the best is like more from a place of joking. But Fortnite, like 100%, he knows he's good. And that is completely intrinsic. I don't like praise him for that. I'm not like, Elijah, make sure at Fortnite you are the best. Like he's not being motivated extrinsically from at least us, right? But he can 100% be like, no, I'm good at this. And so I want him to like have that feeling, whether it's like math. And I think he said he's like, I'm good at math. Reading is the one he's not as confident in, but he's a good reader. But it's like having him say that so that when he gets older, it's not awkward, like, or it doesn't take until you're almost 30 years old to be like, no, I know my worth. Like I'm, even if I don't do this, like I'm pretty good.
And I think it's super important as parents for us to practice them getting that confidence. Because when they get older, especially when they start dating, that's very important for them to have confidence, like self-confidence, be rooted in who they are.
That's hard.
Because, I mean, in relationships, you could be easily swayed. So especially if you're not rooted in nothing, like you don't have self-worth, like, oh man, like you could be swayed so many different ways. And I really pray and I hope that we as parents can do that good job where our kids know who they are, that they're confident of who they are, that they know that they have two parents at home that will continue to cheer them on, continue to encourage them, continue to believe in the best in them, like where they feel like, hey, if this is not working out with this relationship, like, all right, this is not it. Like, because some people, because they're running away from things at home, they run into the wrong arms and just like, oh, you know.
Or make that their identity. Like when you find someone that they kind of like become you. And so when they lose that person, like a part of them left because of their identity was so intertwined. And I think it goes back, I think we mentioned this, we did a parenting podcast before, where it's so important to compliment the effort and not like the result per se. Because if we compliment the result, that starts getting to their identity. Where if we compliment the effort, it's just who they are as a person, if that makes sense.
And that's why our motto is, Garcia's try our best. We just give it our all, and whatever our all is, it's more than enough. But going back to now the inner work, we've all been children. We grew up the way that we grew up. Let's say that you relate with this topic. How do you get out of it? And for the most part, I think it would be loving yourself. And the crazy thing is I heard that so many times on Instagram, people talking about it, posts, people at church. It's like, oh my goodness, what are you talking about,
bro? I mean, the Bible says to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So you can't love your neighbor. But what is that? Because you always like the practical, like what does loving yourself look like?
So for me, the way that it looks for me is, doing something, and this is now going into like the Christian perspective, because I do have a bit of a fear when you overly like love yourself, mm-hmm. it can become prideful when you don't have God in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
For sure.
And so I always have a combination of I am proud of myself, but at the same time, God, I give you the glory and I humble myself, because if it were not for you, I would not be able to do what I just did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's that combination. And so the therapist, when he first brought it up, he was like, hey, you need to practice self-affirmations. Do it in the mirror. And I tried one time and it was gross. I'm like, no, I don't like this. But I didn't click with it at first. But then as I was going through the process, I was starting to understand it more. And he had me do that exercise with the inner child. And I'm like, oh man, okay. I'm starting to get it, you know. I've tried it. I've tried it through, you know, in the mirror. I've tried it through journaling. In the journaling, it's a little more easier. It's a little more easier to digest. I don't feel like I've fully like 100% just grabbed it and embraced it. And that's okay, I think, because again, I've been conditioned for like 30 whatever years. Yeah. And, you know, it's not going to be like, oh my gosh, I'm healed or whatever. But one of these days I went for like a small little like 6 mile run. And I felt good. I was happy. I got into my car and I brought down the rearview mirror and I looked at myself and I'm like, I'm proud of you. And that was the first time that I actually felt like I was talking to like little David.
Mm.
And like, it almost got me choked up. And I'm like, oh man, there it is. There's a little spark there, you know? And I'm like, I'm proud of you. Like, you did this. You woke up early. You went for this run, whatever. You know, I just started like affirming myself. And then again, I followed up with, you know, God, like, this is all because of you. And I think that's so important. And that goes along with what I've been like processing as well, is trusting God, mm-hmm. like fully, and being humble and just being like, hey, wherever you want me to go, I'm going to go. I'm not going to move anymore without you. Like, I'm just going to sit my little butt down and I'm going to be in your presence and I'm going to just wait.
Yeah.
Right. And just humility, really practicing humility. So what it looks like, I think, is self-affirming, I think, is very, very important. And especially if you've never really had that, like if you've never had that, if you've been like me, that you've felt for the most part of your life alone, like I've had friends, I've had relationships, but I never really felt like there was a real connection. There never felt like I could actually be myself. Until now with you. But like growing up, I remember you were like, when was your first relationship? I was like 5 years old. I think I was kissing a girl. Like, I just grew up with this feeling of like, I always need to have something like I was telling the therapist as well. Like I felt like a lot of my life, I was a chameleon. I would just form to wherever, like whatever situation I was in, like, oh, these people like this type of person. All right, I'm going to be here.
Mm-hmm.
People like this type of person. All right, I'm going to change here. Just like, and then he asked me like, who are you? And I'm like, buddy, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't really know. And so my thing would be self-affirm. Do the things that you want to do. And when you don't post about it, don't send it to nobody, then you start realizing, what is it that I actually like?
Mm.
And what I actually like if, especially if you can be a passionate person, I'm a pretty passionate person. Like when I really like something, I like dive all in on it. And if you can do that, you find out like, oh, I actually like doing this. And now I'm doing it for me.
Mm.
Now it's not, cause I used to like do certain things where I'm like, I'm going to throw myself under the bus. I used to judge people so hard for the people that post everything on Instagram. Like, oh my gosh, date night. Oh my God. Like, do you not go on a date every single, like we, like
yeah.
They only post like the great things. And just like, I think I told you, or I don't know if I told somebody else, but I'm like, Instagram, I feel like is validate my life, please. Like,
yeah,
notice me. I need somebody to notice me, you know? And I used to just bag on those people. But I was being a hypocrite because I was doing the same thing, just in a different version, which was I would send it to the group chat. Mm. Be like, oh, look what I did. Look at what I read. Look at the activity that I did. Look at the miles that I ran, whatever. Look at the workout. Oh, look at my muscles, whatever. Like, but do that. It was basically the same thing. I was expecting the, wow, that's amazing. Oh my gosh, you're so different. Like, seeking that affirmation of you're different, you're special, you're amazing, like, yeah, you're awesome. Just looking for it for other people. And one thing that I've been thinking about recently is there's a huge difference between quantity and quality. It's easy to get a quantity of those affirmations, but it's the quality that really lasts. And it's very important for you to give yourself quality love. Because regardless whether people come or people go, that quality love that you give to yourself, it's going to remain.
Mm-hmm.
People come and go. Like, I mean, you look at people famous on Instagram. Like, you can be famous one day, and in 1 or 3 months, you're no longer famous. They're all gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you live off of people's affirmations, if you live off of people's validation and, you know, praise, yeah, that could come and that'd be amazing for a little bit, but it's not promised to be forever.
Yeah.
But if you can learn to A, accept love from God, because that's the other thing that you might be battling with, accepting love from God, accepting that you're worthy of love, accepting that you don't have to work for it,
mm-hmm,
accepting that you don't have to move a muscle, like that God loves you no matter what. That's probably like the first step. Then after that, it's loving yourself. And then combined with that is loving who God made you to be. I think that's so important. And again, if you've been, you know, conditioned for X amount of years, it's not going to be easy. I still cringe sometimes when I'm just like, yeah, I'm proud of you, you know, like, but as you keep practicing it, you're like, it's almost like there's a wall that you're chipping away at. It's almost like you're in a jail and you're trying to like break free. Like, and you have like a little spoon and you're just every single time you affirm yourself, every single time you say that you love yourself, every single time you say you're proud of yourself, you're and little by little, you're going to break out of that jail.
And you wouldn't, I know this is probably like even more cringe, but I think it'd be super effective. Like, take a picture of a little David and put it, whether it's in your car, whether it's in your car, your journal, and say it to him, like visualize it. Cause I know, there was this girl on TikTok. She's pretty famous. She was saying she didn't like her appearance. And then, that God convicted her and was like, you were talking about, like, look at your baby self. Like, tell her, like, you look ugly, you're this. And, like, she couldn't. And so she started putting her baby picture on her bathroom mirror and saying, like, I have to speak nice about myself because that's her. I'm her. And just so, like, it clicks, like, whatever I'm saying, if it's mean, I'm saying it to him. If I'm saying something, like, it's to him, like, which is you. But I think seeing it, you kind of see, like, you're so innocent and you want to protect that as much as possible.
Yeah, the initial response was cringe, but now that I'm actually like thinking about it, it might be a good exercise.
I think you should do it.
Just have me bawling every single time.
I think it just makes it more like a little bit more tangible.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was saying, because I think you can see Elijah, but you still know, like, that's Elijah, that's not me. And I think it can be healing for sure when you parent correctly. I think there's a part that God like restores in that. But I think it's still like, that's Elijah. He didn't go through what you went through. Versus you've seen him and you know this is what he went through. Let me start speaking life and let me start restoring that.
Yeah, I would agree on both parts. Because going through certain situations with Elijah does help a lot.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily I see myself in him, but it's more necessarily like it is possible to be this type of parent, you know, and that's healing.
Yeah.
Cause like when you only have one set of parents, right? Like you don't have various sets that you can choose from. Like, I like that one better. You only grow up with one set of parents, and it's just like you think like, could it be better? And like you see your friends, maybe they look a little happier or whatever. But in reality, like, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. So just like the only thing that you know for reals is what you're going through. And so when I could be a better version, a healthier version of a parent, that is healing to me, because I'm like, it's possible. You know, there's hope.
That's good.
We can continue to make the better choices, and I can be the parent that I never got. I could love as best that I can. And again, with all this, I don't want to take anything away from my parents. Like, they did try their best. You know, like, and I'm sitting here like complaining about them, whatever. And I think, you know, when Elijah's older, when Uriah's older, they might be complaining about us too, you know?
They're like, going to go to therapy for me calling them a movie.
And so I'm not sitting here like standing on firm ground saying like my parents were the worst. They were not the worst. They tried their best. I can now see the way that their version of love was, you know? And I'm sitting here just, and it's a topic that we talked about a couple, I don't know how many episodes back, but it was just, we used to complain about the things that we don't have.
Yeah.
And we don't appreciate the things that we do. And it's not until after the fact that we go, oh, we do appreciate that. And that's where I'm living in right now, where I appreciate, I can see all the things, I can identify all the ways that they did love me. But I'm also sitting here complaining like, oh, like, I didn't get this and I didn't get that, right? But the point of me saying that is it is a great sense of joy and of healing, of gratitude, when I can love Elijah the way that I wish I would have been loved. But yeah, I think I'll try that, printing out the little
thing on myself. Because I think when you genuinely start loving, and this is kind of getting a long topic, but when you genuinely start loving yourself, that's when you can extend grace to you, to your kids, to your wife.
And I think that's something definitely, like, you know, we talk about, you know, chains and stuff. That's something that I do feel like I need to break out of. Because I can't give myself grace because of the way that I was raised, I also, it's so difficult for me to give grace to other people. And it's weird, because there is a certain group of people that I can give grace to. Like, when I was a youth pastor, like, those kids, like, could do whatever the heck that they wanted to do, and I'd still be like, hey, no, it's going to be okay, and blah, 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 blah. But, like, there's a certain, the majority of the population of the world, I go, no, there is no grace. You should know better. You should do better, blah, blah, blah.
But I think you loved your youth. And I think they didn't come off as prideful. I think when you see people, when you don't love them, and then when you see them as like the same age, or you expect something of them.
Yeah, the expectation.
Yeah, but you're like, okay, they're young. I love them, learning. And they're young, they're learning. They don't come off as prideful or as know-it-all, so it's way easier to extend that grace.
And maybe it's still a combination of, I see myself in them, you know? I made mistakes and, you know, I didn't really get grace, so let me give grace to these kids that are making mistakes. But going back to it, I need to break out of that. I can't give people grace, but it starts with giving myself grace and learning how to give myself grace. And that's the hard part. I mean, even Sunday, we were driving to church and I did something or whatever, and I'm like, oh, I'm so dumb. And you're like, don't say that. I'm like, oh, it's just second nature to me, you know? Like, But I do, like, I mean, you guys that are listening, maybe you guys are going through the same thing. If you guys are not, if you guys are in a better place, and you guys have like a minute or two to pray for me, I mean, that'd be greatly appreciated, because I don't know how long this process is going to take. I'm glad that I've been able to identify these things because I'm able to see them now in everyday life, and I'm able to keep myself in check a little bit more. But maybe you guys are going through it, and maybe you guys still feel, maybe you guys get triggered. I get triggered, and even if it's not for me, but maybe somebody else, or maybe they said something like, here's an example, right? Like, And I do it to you. I do it to you. And that I'm going to throw myself under the bus. She's nodding her head. Like, for example, you're a teacher. And all of a sudden, you don't know a certain word. You don't know the spelling of a certain word. You don't know some sort of history fact, whatever. What do? I go, wow, and you went to Biola? Or wow, and you're a teacher? Mm-hmm. What am I doing there? Like, I'm basically saying you're not allowed to make a mistake. Like, if you're a teacher, you should know it all. You should be on point. Same thing. Like, I saw another one online where this guy, they're showing a soccer clip. And they pause it right before the guy kicks it or whatever. And this guy goes on a rant. These guys are in a BMW. They get paid millions. They're in a nicest hotel. They sleep the best and blah, 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 blah. We pay you millions and to do what? And they end the clip and then the guy misses a shot, whatever. It's like there's no grace given, right? There's an expectation. But when I hear those situations, granted that I do it to other people, but when I hear those other situations and other people as well, like when somebody else is doing it to somebody else, I go, wait a minute. Like it happened recently where I'm like, wait a minute. Like you're putting that person in a box like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's fair, you know, and there is a certain like level of standard, right? That's what we talked about. There's a level of standard. And we didn't really touch on that though. But there's a level of standard, right? Like there is a right and wrong, right? But the way that you approach it is very important. Like, wow, you're a teacher? That's contempt. Mm-hmm. Like, and if you guys don't know what contempt is, I barely know what it is, but I know it's not a very good thing. But contempt is basically like you're shaming the person.
Yeah. You're like labeling them.
You're labeling them.
You already stamped it and that's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And so it's contempt. It's wrong. Mm-hmm. It's completely wrong. But going back just quickly to the standard, right? We were talking about our kids and somebody might be thinking like, wow, so you're just going to let your kids do whatever and then it's all good. And this is where we get to the point. They're going to be kids. We're humans. We're going to make mistakes. There's no way we're going to have a perfect month or whatever. We made zero mistakes.
Yeah.
We made zero sins. Like, you're not Jesus. You're going to make mistakes. But I think it's all about the approach of how you deal with it.
For sure.
Right? So for you, like you made a mistake in whatever, spelling something. Wow. And you're a teacher. That's contempt. That's shame. That's not the way to deal with it. Mm-hmm. Because then now you're going to be like, well, I'm not going to do this again. Like whatever it is that we were doing, I'm out. I'm never doing this again because I do not want to feel like that. Whereas you made the mistake and maybe I take an approach of like, hey, babe, like, it's actually like this, like taking more of an approach of like, can I help you? Can I help you? Here's how can I help you? You could do like, I know that you could do better, like without the shame. That still sounds a little shameful, but the point is like, there's a healthier way to deal with that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. right? And so me saying that, the last question that I'm going to ask you is, how would you deal with that? Now talking about this topic, throwing it out there on the table, how would you deal with certain mistakes with our kids? Because they're going to make mistakes, right? They're going to drop a glass of water.
Yeah.
They're going to accidentally trip their sister, trip their brother. They're going to accidentally, or maybe not accidentally, maybe they hanging out with the wrong crowd and all of a sudden they say a swear word now. Like, how are you going to deal with that?
All I can think of is like the professional development that we've been given where they say, judge the action, not the person. Mm-hmm. And so saying bad words isn't not like you are bad, but it's, you know, saying bad words is not what we do. It's not the standard versus making him feel like he is not the standard. He's not completing the standard.
Yeah.
And then, they always say like, see the gift, like remind them of who they are. So if they're making bad friends before you start like with your whole rant, cause they're probably not even going to listen to it, is call out the gift that you see in them. I see that you are social. I see that you love hard. I see this, this, this. That way, when then you start talking about what you want to get to, like hanging the brown crowd, they're more willing to listen because they are seen, they are validated in their personhood, if that makes sense.
How would you manage that with an adult?
Like an adult make us a mistake?
Yeah, an adult makes a mistake and the other adult is like, what are you doing? Like, how would you manage that? What's the right way to manage that? Like, for example, when I was a youth pastor and I made a not a great joke, like a little iffy joke, instead of going, wow, and you're a youth pastor?
I think the same thing. So talking about the joke and not you as a person, because them saying, wow, you're a youth pastor, or me saying, wow, you're a youth pastor, is judging the person. It's not judging the what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so saying, like, obviously, when you're not in front of people, but saying, hey, the jokes you're saying, like others see it as hurtful or it's on someone's expense or whatever. And then seeing the gift, like you have a great, you have great humor that connects people, that makes people laugh in this. But in this case, because I feel like as soon as you talk and not seeing the gift, it's like you want to validate them. So that's how I would have seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. And again, it's just a trigger of mine when you go, wow, like you're the youth pastor or whatever. Like, because, yeah, like somebody who grew up like that, they're an adult now. They're like, I don't have to feel like this anymore. And then for them to feel that again. So, yeah, I would agree with you. Like if somebody would be like, hey, can I talk to you? Like the joke that you were saying, it would. First, it wasn't very funny. Mm-hmm. And second, it was a little crude. I don't think it was a positive joke. I don't think people were benefiting from it. And I think you could do better. You know, just like exactly what you were saying, like, I see better in you. You could do better. I believe in you. And it's just the feeling of I'm not against you. And I'm not trying to change you. And yeah. I'm not trying to judge you or put you in a mold. It's, I'm standing with you. And I'm going to walk with you. If you want my help, I'm going to walk with you. And I'm going to help you. You know, and it's just that feeling of, because for me personally, my thing, trigger is always like, oh, I'm alone. I'm back where I was before. I'm alone. Nobody has my back. Everyone's against me. I'm the bad one.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, anything you want to add?
I think that's good. And I think it's biblical because I was just talking about David's life. And imagine if God did deal like that with us or with him, where it's like when David slept with Bathsheba and did that whole revolu, he could have been like, look what a horrible man you are. Look what a bad king you are. Like, no, it was just saying like, this is sin. Like you did, it was judging his actions and reminding him of who he was, like, you can be better. Like, you are a man after God's own heart. So you're, how you said, you're making it seem like I am with you. I know who you are. I see who you are. I believe in who you are. So let's get to who we both know who you are.
Yeah.
Which I think is powerful.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Yeah. So yeah, coming to the conclusion of this episode, I want to encourage you guys to take a time of reflection. Mm-hmm. If you're a parent, reflect from the point of view of being a parent and think about how you're parenting those kids that you have. Think about how you want to parent them, what you want them to be like when they're older. And just know that every single thing that's happening has an effect on these kids. They're very... very moldable. They're sponges. They soak everything up. And from the perspective of you, take some time to think about you, the way that you grew up. Think about how you react to certain things now. Think about, can I give myself grace? Do I give others grace? Can I look myself in the mirror and say that I love myself? Can I look myself in the mirror and say I'm proud of you? Think about all these things. And if you're having a hard time with it, maybe it is time maybe to seek a therapist, maybe to seek a counselor, maybe to seek a pastor, a friend, a relative, somebody to start working this thing out, maybe a journal, and maybe start practicing self-love, you know? And if you're a Christian, bring God into it. Just be like, I'm proud of myself. I love myself. And God, it's all because of you. I give you the glory. And it's going to take time. There is no microwave for this. If you microwave it, you're just going to be lying to yourself. And that's very important for me to say, because everybody wants to microwave everything nowadays. It's going to take time. At first, it's going to be cringe. And then it's going to be a little less cringe. Then you might have a little spark. And hopefully with time, you get that fire of, wow. And then with that process, hopefully comes confidence, comes freedom. And you start to know that people will come and go. And that's okay. That people's opinions matter a little less to you. That you aren't changing who you are for certain people around you. And that you're not thirsty for people's affirmations anymore and praises. That you can be confident in who God has made you. That you can be rooted in who He has made you. That you can be confident moving forward in the purpose that He has for you. But all in all, it's love and freedom that I think you would benefit the most from with this process. So I really hope and encourage you guys to do these reflections. I want to thank you, babe, for having this conversation with me and helping me, you know, dissect this.
Love you.
And having your point of view. I love you too. And we love you guys. We're hoping and praying for the best for you guys. Any way that we can help, we hope that we are helping. Again, leave the comments, put a like if you like the episode. Share it if you feel like it's worthy of being shared. But just know that we don't really need you to share it. We're confident with who we are. We love you, and we will see you guys on the next one.